Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Hour number three of this Friday edition of Free Talk Live. The phone number is 603-283-6160. If you would like to chime in, pipe in, weigh in, and talk about whatever's on your mind. In the studio tonight, it's me, Captain.
It's me, Nikki.
And it's me, Bonnie.
I thought about once, like, doing, like, the caveman version of Free Talk Live. This, Free Talk Live, you call. Number is...
Unga Bunga.
Host R. Right, yeah, Unga Bunga.
It's right, just funnier to me when Mark says, it's me, Mark, just because it sounds like one word or something.
Me, Mark.
Me, Mark.
Or it's meme, arc.
It's me, Mark.
Yes. An arc full of memes. I would like to visit this arc, because I love memes. I don't know about
you. Me too.
Guys.
Yeah? If you touch it, you'll die.
Why?
You know, the Ark of the Covenant, if you touch it, you'll die.
Oh, I was thinking Noah's Ark, not the Ark
of
the Covenant.
Yeah. I think that's with a C. Yeah. Mark is Mark with a K, so you're right.
Oh, yeah. Meme Ark. All right. Anyway, before we go on, I want to say thank you to Crash Gordon. That's right. Crash Gordon is a gold-level amplifier. What is an amplifier when it's related to Free Talk Live? Well, AMPS stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. And you can find out all about this program over at amps.freetalklive.com. Basically, it's a way for you to contribute to getting this show onto more radio stations. We're on something like 180 radio stations now. We could be on 200, 250, 300 radio stations. Not out of the question. It's all up to you. The silver level is $5. That's the lowest level. We only ask for $5, but you can do like Crash Gordon does and give more. He gives $10, so he's a gold level. You do get some benefits when you do become an amplifier. It's a Patreon type of a setup, if you're familiar with that. You can find out all about the benefits, all about how to sign up, all how to become a amplifier here for Free Talk Live. If you enjoy the hosts, the co-hosts, the callers, the topics, the position that we bring you, the perspective of freedom, liberty, and peace, please consider becoming an amplifier over at amps.freetalklive.com. Thank you again, Crash Gordon. We appreciate you.
Thanks, Crash Gordon.
Crash.
Crash Bandicoot.
He's an amplifier?
That's what I was thinking at first.
I don't know if I said it right.
I can't tell you what comes to mind when that comes to mind because, well, I can't say it on the radio.
Crash Bandicoot is like this little fox video game
guy.
No,
I know who it is. Oh. There's, well, never mind. I'll tell you off air.
Okay.
If I remember. At any rate, we are going to talk about something different now. Bonnie, let's go to what you brought in. This from ZeroHedge.com.
That's what makes me mad. They're doing the same thing in Israel, basically, that the United States did with RT.
Right. Do you want to read this or you want me to?
Oh, I can read it if you
want. I've got it up already.
So. No, you can read it, so I sent it to you.
Israel moves to shut down Al Jazeera over Gaza coverage. Now, we had a caller last segment talking about how it's sort of opened his mind. Sort of opened his mind to watch different...
Yeah.
Brands of news, right? ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, right? The local news, cable news, CNN, all
that
kind of stuff.
That's one huge reason I always check Al Jazeera when I'm looking for show prep is because, like, they have a unique perspective from the news if I look at, like, CNN, which I almost never do.
And I also, in addition to Al Jazeera, I used to check RT, RT USA. I used to check BBC.com. There was another news outlet out of, like, Africa, too, that I would check. Their world news site as well, when just, trying to get a full perspective of what's going on, because all of these outlets have a slightly different agenda and thus a slightly different way of bringing you the news. So here we have Israel wants to shut down Al Jazeera over its Gaza coverage. The major Qatari-based news channel Al Jazeera is about to be shut down in Israel, Gaza, and the West Bank by Israeli authorities. It has been accused of, quote, helping Hamas, unquote, and encouraging violence against Israel. The ban is likely to include a raid on its offices in Israel. So, boy, that's not like, you know, a violation of freedom of speech at all. You know, I realize that that's not America over there.
Yeah.
And they don't, you know, pretend to have something called freedom of speech over
nope.
there. But at the same time, to me, rights are not dependent upon whatever government you live under, right? Whatever government happens to claim a monopoly over your geographic area, they do not grant you rights. Your rights are a condition of your existence. And so you should have the right to say whatever you want to say.
I wish more people understood that.
The other thing about it is Biden is over here saying we have some kind of a duty to stand behind these people because they're a democracy. Can you be a true democracy if, like, news stations can't even speak out if they're the wrong... not that I'm saying democracy is so great, but even if you're going to act like democracy is so great, can it possibly be a true democracy if, like, information isn't allowed to get to people? They can't make correct decisions.
Yeah.
You know, like, fully informed decisions.
No, they can't.
Keeping people from certain journalists.
Governments, we look back at history, governments traditionally like to shut down these media,
yep. right?
Whether it's, you know,
newspaper
pamphlets,
Abraham Lincoln.
Thing. What, yeah, exactly, all that kind of thing, because they want to be in control. They want to control the narrative. They want to tell you what to think and how to think and how to act instead of letting you decide for yourself. It's really just that simple. The Israeli government on Friday approved emergency regulations. Where have we heard this before? Right?
COVID.
Yep. Giving it the power.
Patriot Act.
It's given itself the power to shut down foreign news agencies which are deemed to be acting against the security of the state.
Wow.
Quote unquote.
And one thing from Al Jazeera that I read was just like, it was an opinion piece saying that Israel is trying to goad the United States into war with Iran. It's not like they're saying things like we need to kill Israelis. You know, it's just criticism of the way that Israel is acting. It's just so obvious what's happening here.
The first target for shutdown is believed to be Al Jazeera, given its staunchly pro-Palestinian news coverage, which has also rejected Israel's denial of the Al Ali Arab Hospital bombing and mass casualties. Media outlets ranging from I24 News to Times of Israel are reporting that Al Jazeera is the prime target. The channel is the largest Arabic language news outlet in the world and also is a prime global source for English language updates from within Gaza. Israeli Communications Minister Shlomo Kari, has emphasized that Israel was at war on land, in the air, and at sea, and on the public diplomacy front. According to the Times of Israel, the regulations are retroactive, meaning broadcasts by the Qatari network since the war started can now be used as the basis for a decision to shut down the staunchly pro-Palestinian news outlet's local branch. So, they're going to accuse them of being, you know, pro something that they're not, right? And they're going to use evidence from before this particular conflict even started.
They're not pro-Palestinian? I mean, they might be.
No, I'm just saying that the government here is going to shut them down, and they're going to use broadcast as evidence, broadcasts that happened before this conflict even started.
Yeah.
So that's BS.
Yeah, doesn't make sense.
Kari called out the major Middle East news outlet by name in his fresh comments. We will not allow in any way broadcasts that harm the security of the state. The broadcasts and reports of Al Jazeera constitute incitement against Israel, help Hamas, ISIS, and the terror organizations with their propaganda, and encourage violence against Israel.
At least he told the truth at the beginning. It's the security of the state, not the security of, like, the Israeli
people. Right.
Mm-hmm. They're trying to keep their name.
This is the first time I've seen Hamas-ISIS.
Hmm, me too.
I haven't heard the term ISIS in quite some time. The first time I ever heard the term ISIS, believe it or not, it was a spin-off superhero program out of the mid to late 70s. Shazam used to be, there's a different name for him. Commonly, he's called Shazam.
Never heard of him.
There was a show that was, and then there was a spinoff of this female, and her superhero name was Isis. And she had, you know, some superpowers. It was a horrible show. It was kind of like Wonder Woman, the OG Wonder Woman with Linda Carter. You know, it was that, you know, before special effects, so everything had to be practical.
And this Isis was before Wonder Woman, or?
Right around the same time. Wonder Woman lasted more seasons, but yeah. Isis was right there. It was one of those things you'd turn on the TV after school and something would be on.
Something.
And, you know, they ran out of, you know,
you talked about Captain Marvel. Was that the other
name? Captain Marvel, yes. That's the other name for Shazam. Thank you.
Yeah. Nikki said that she has a friend named Isis, and it caused all her this grief.
Oh, man. How horrible.
It is such a beautiful name, too. And obviously she was named that before the terrorist group. So I mean, she was like, you know, imagine being a woman named Isis and all of a sudden this terrorist, and everybody's talking about how much they hate Isis and that's her name.
She's probably on a no-fly list based on her first name.
Could be. Yeah. I mean,
that's what I was thinking. And it's a freaking ancient Egyptian goddess.
It is, yeah.
So it's like,
yeah, it is, yeah.
Been around for a really long time. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
The way governments act.
And in fact, I think the actress who played Isis in this television show that I'm thinking of
her name was Hamas.
No. But she may have been my first like television crush. You know what I mean? I might have been she is attractive. You know. And then Linda Carter came along, and I totally forgot about this Isis chick.
Bye.
Yeah. Linda Carter in her prime. Oh my God. Still, even so. At any rate, Israel's communication and defense ministers have reportedly agreed to the following sleeping.
She's pretty.
Yeah, she's super hot. Or for a 70s chick, right? You know?
Yeah.
Israel's communications and defense ministers have reportedly agreed to the following emergency superpowers. Sorry, I put this word super in there. Emergency powers. Israel will be able to order TV providers to stop broadcasting the news outlet in question.
Just Al Jazeera? Or?
Well, I noticed that this is worded in the singular, right? You would think that if it granted emergency powers, they'd be written vaguely so as to include, well, any potential, right? But this is written, and maybe it's a typo, I don't know. But it says, Israel will be able to order TV providers to stop broadcasting the news outlet in question. That's number one. Number two, close its offices in Israel, seize its equipment, and number three, shut down its website or restrict access to its website depending on the location of its server.
Seizing its equipment is so unnecessary. You could just kick them out at the very least.
Yeah. I mean, this is what governments do.
Yep.
Right?
Gotta take it up a notch.
This is not new. And if you think it can't happen here, it can. It will.
Hmm.
Al Jazeera has frequently alleged that Israel's military targets and its correspondents in the field, as was the case with slain Al Jazeera journalist Shireen Abu Akleh, who had been shot in the head by Israeli forces while covering a raid on Jenin in the West Bank in May of 2022.
Oh, my God.
So, some online commenters have noticed the parallels with the Zelensky government in Ukraine, who early on in the war with Russia moved strongly against media outlets deemed opposition or pro-Russian. This included a crackdown on Russian-speaking media in general, despite a huge portion of Ukrainian citizens speaking Russian as either a first or a second language. Al Jazeera's live English language broadcasts can be accessed via the web. So, yeah, wartime brings censorship. It brings a reduction in your freedoms.
Absolutely.
No matter where you are, almost, seems to be. And this is horrible news. In fact, if anything, this should motivate some of the people who do live in that area to do more what I call citizen journalism, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get out in the streets, get your phone, you know, grab a camera, whatever, make your own videos, post them somewhere, however you can.
And it's never been easier. Yeah. I mean, with smartphones and social media.
Yep. And you don't have to broadcast live. A lot of people think, I got to go live. No, you don't. You can record it and then take the video somewhere else and then upload it a little later. It doesn't have to be live.
You almost can't go live immediately on most things anyway. Like, you have to have a certain amount of followers.
Yeah.
I guess, like, Facebook, but that's not a good place to do your journalism.
Well, it might be a good place to find some journalism if, well, I could. I have noticed over, I don't know, the last couple of years that I kept Facebook for a long time because I spent a lot of time fighting to keep my Facebook page because they tried to shut me down.
Yeah.
Also, I built up followers from being a musician and that kind of thing, fans and that kind of stuff who've been following me forever on that platform. So I kept that around. But I also kept that around because I would frequently get show prep. Right, when I started doing this show.
Yeah, not anymore.
Right, and like, I actually looked today, right? Usually I run across something, I'm like, oh, I'll copy that and save it for show prep. But today I was actually looking, and I was like, let me see if I can go find anything on Facebook that I can use for show prep. Not a damn thing.
I get some news articles, but it's all absolute garbage. It'll be like, the Daily Mail, and it's just a complete joke, half of it. I'm like, is this satire?
Yeah.
Twitter, I run into things once in a while that I'm like, oh, this might be good for the show in a few days or something, but it's really not common. But Ian does all the time. I don't know how
he
does it.
Yeah, well, I don't. Instagram is where I get the best. But most of my show prep comes from Instagram because I follow a lot of, like, obscure... I'm not following the same pages that most people are following, right? Like, I'm following very obscure, like... I don't want to say conspiracy theory, but like, you know, like take the gold pill, like things like that. A lot of libertarian anarchist type pages.
Yep. And I try to do the same. I try to have a nice mix, particularly on the Facebook, because it's the oldest platform that I'm on. I rejoined Twitter. I had joined Twitter way back in the day, and I just thought it sucked. And so I'm like, delete. Mm-hmm. And I just never went back. And then I went back recently, within the last 5 years or so. And so I've got Twitter again. It's at KickAssReverend. And to some extent, I get some of probably what you think Ian is getting on his. But, like, the thing is it's so individualized now, right? You're going to go like stuff that I'm not going to. I'm going to go like stuff that you're not going to. You're going to go like stuff that she's not going to, et cetera, and so on. And so Ian's going to get stuff that you're not going to get. I'm certain because, like, he's gonna, like, either have liked or interacted with certain things or topics or pages and groups that you haven't yet or that you may never will, right? Depending on, you know, Ian's also been doing this program for, well, a really long time. So he's got, you know, a couple of decades of that type of interaction built up. So, Twitter has a much easier time, sending him stuff that that Twitter's algorithms think.
Plus, I'll sit there and read like a long article about something totally boring to me, and then he'll know everything about the current thing like Elon Musk is doing or something. And
yeah,
I just can't do that.
Yeah, there's some things I'm just like, ugh, I don't have the stomach for this. Twitter right now to me, at least my Twitter feed, is just way too much Israel-Palestine. Everybody's just, oh, no, you're wrong about that. You're wrong. No, I'm not. You're wrong. I want to go. It's just, I hear, it's like, what is it, Peanuts, right?
Yeah. I'm really not a fan of Twitter.
Right?
I feel like I haven't had the time to, like, build it up to what I want. But it's really just a lot of people going back and forth, and it's just very toxic. And what I liked about Instagram was I feel like I learn stuff. Like, I follow a lot of homesteading, and like I go on Instagram and I'm either learning, you know, about the current thing, and it's, you know, not a mainstream opinion, right? It's a very obscure opinion that I'm getting, or, you know, whatever. Or I'm learning something about my health or sustainability, or it's content that I really, really like versus Twitter, where it's just like, Twitter doesn't know who I am yet, right? With the algorithms, they don't know me.
That's gotta be weird, I just feel the opposite. Like, when I go on Instagram, I keep seeing, I just think my Instagram became tailored to something I just don't want it to be. I keep just getting just this basic bitch, like, just like, put it out in attention, and the universe will give it to you. Like, memes that pop up and say that over and over, and it's just like, I just like, or Lana Del Rey. Like, because me and my friend will, like, we're talking about Lana Del Rey, like, once, and that's all that pops up. For a while, it was, like, Britney Spears. And, like, I feel like Instagram is very just one-dimensional to me, but it could be just because I don't go on it as much, like you're saying.
Maybe,
with Twitter. And with Twitter, I've found lots of, like, people who talk about, like, health and, like, people talking about, like, you know, just things like, I don't know, tips and stuff like that are cool, like getting a filter for your shower, just like those types of people, like mostly like girl talk stuff. And I love that, but I don't get that on Instagram. I think it all comes down to using it and your likes creating something. Because for whatever reason, Twitter appeals to me. It didn't like 5 years ago. Like I used to think it sucked. Instagram was best. And now for whatever reason, like Instagram doesn't appeal to me as much and Twitter does. So
I know I'm a very visual person. So I like in a lot of like I'm like looking at like recipes and stuff. So it's like nice to see a video of that sort of thing.
If you want social media relevance to Free Talk Live, Bonnie, you should tell our listeners about TikTok.
Oh, yeah. So we have a TikTok. It's at Free Talk Live. And we actually have somebody who, thank you so much. He is working on the TikTok, creating little shorts from our episodes. And if you go in there and follow us and share and try to help boost the views on those, it's not doing bad. But he wants to get 1,000 followers so that way we can go live on TikTok.
So help us out. What's the at?
At Free Talk Live.
So go help us out on TikTok if you're on that particular platform. I, to some extent, I might be partially responsible for my own lack of relevant content on both Facebook and Twitter because I fight the algorithm. All right. So Facebook is famous for like showing you a thing of like a friend of yours, and you're already friends, you already see their stuff, but then it goes, do you want to see more of this type of content?
Yeah.
Yes or no? I just bypass that. Twitter does something similar, where they'll, I don't remember how they propose it, but they'll like, if you click on a thing, all of a sudden you're seeing like three or four of a similar thing in that same section that you're on. So I'm very careful not to click on anything that says sponsored or paid or advertisement, and they change it from time to time. They'll move the little indicator, the little word that says advertisement, sponsored, or whatever. They'll move it around so it's not always in the same place.
Do they really?
Yeah. They're
tricky.
They're marketers. That's what they do, right? So if you're paying attention, you can avoid some of the, I'm going to call them algorithm traps, right? But at the same time, that may have some effect on, like, what I'm getting in my feed. What I don't like about Twitter is the for you and then people you follow. It's like, well, I mean, I'm following these people because they are for me, right?
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? Exactly.
Like, it doesn't make any sense. Why would you divide this into two different... It's like what Twitter wants you to see versus what Twitter thinks you want to see from your friends. No, but like they do a poor job of both.
I feel like it's just the spending time thing. So on who you're following, it's by most recent post. And sometimes that can get boring because it's like, I don't care what somebody liked 3 seconds ago.
Right.
But before you, if when it first started, I was always getting this crap that had nothing to do with what I was interested in. And by now, like, I get a lot of interesting, like, threads, and I'm like, wow, I would have never seen this, you know?
Still to come here on Free Talk Live, the new Hoovervilles, 603-283-6160. We'll talk more about that, plus your calls and thoughts. It's Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. President Biden announced from the White House Friday that humanitarian aid is set to start flowing into Gaza in the coming days. He stated that he had secured commitments from Israel and Egypt to open the Rafah border crossing connecting Egypt to Gaza. As part of this agreement, an initial convoy of 20 trucks carrying essential supplies like food, water, and medicine will be allowed to enter the Gaza Strip. Amazon employees who still refuse to comply with the retail giant's return-to-office policy may soon get the boot. Business Insider reported the company circulated new guidance to managers this week, informing them that they can now fire those workers who fail failed to report to the office at least 3 days a week and laid out the process for how such terminations should go. Employees still not making it into the office enough after that could face a pink slip. Rather than taking part in the third Republican presidential primary debate in Miami, former President Donald Trump will be hosting a rally in the nearby city of Hialeah, Florida. The evening event will be at Ted Hendricks Stadium. President Trump is slated to appear on stage at 7 p.m. on November 8th. Skip Kelly, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNlive.com. That's advertise at GCNlive.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Yes, it's Meow Talk Live. I don't know. I don't want to take credit for starting it unless I did, which is possible. But at one point, I had an idea. There's an Alice in Chains song called Man in the Box.
Yeah. Meow, meow, yeah. Meow.
I'm a cat in a box, right?
Oh, you know? Yeah. They love that.
And so I had this idea. And then it turns out somebody else made the same exact
wow.
parody. And did animations to it with like a little cartoon
yeah.
cat and all this kind of
That's
stuff.
That's more than you're going to do.
And yeah, I was like, oh, well, you know.
Yeah.
And recently, too, I'm in a Dr. Demento group on one of my social medias.
Wow.
And somebody was like, hey, I've been holding on to this for like 30 years. It's a parody to Bon Jovi's Bad Medicine. Now, I've had an idea for a parody that was called Bad Venison, right? Mm. Bad venison is dirty meat, right? That kind of thing. This guy, like, he did it. He wrote all of the words. Like,
so,
this is my...
It was also venison?
Also bad venison, right?
Well,
now,
what?
His verses and stuff were slightly
that's
different
like random.
Than what I
that's
had
That's not what I would think of if I was going to parody that song.
But, right. And so I was like, oh, wow. But now, like, I didn't... My number one complaint against anybody who comes to me and is like, oh, hey, Captain, I've got an idea for a parody song. And they'll just give you the title. Right?
Yeah,
like,
we need
well,
more than
where's,
that.
Where's the rest of the song? Oh, well, I figured you'd do that.
No.
Why did you figure that? Like, oh, well, because you're a parody.
Come on,
artist.
At least
like,
give me, yeah. you know, a chorus.
Yeah, yeah. Come back to me you know, yeah. when it's all done. Unless, of course, you want to commission me
yeah.
to write said parody song. I'm happy to
But then if they write their whole parody song, why wouldn't they do it themselves?
Well, I'm saying, like, I can be commissioned to write a parody song if you have an idea and don't want to do the work. I'm happy to let you pay me to do the rest of the work, but I'm not going to do it for free.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, right? So, anyway, there's lazy parodies. You see them all the time. They're on memes, right? It'll just be the verse of the song.
Yeah.
And you'll be like, ha-ha, that's funny, right? Somebody should do that, and then no one ever does, right?
Mm-hmm.
The hardest part about doing parody songs is writing the entire song.
Yeah, the stuff that people don't think of, right. You know?
Yeah, it's more than just the chorus, people. So at any rate, it's not uncommon, though, for parody artists to kind of have similar ideas for parody songs. Sometimes there's a finite number of words that can rhyme with a thing
yeah.
or has the same amount of syllables or, you know, maybe
and
the
only
title,
so many of those things are funny, right?
Right.
Yeah. Maybe the title lends itself to that somehow, some way by something in their music
yeah.
video or something they said or, you know.
Commonly misheard yeah. lyrics.
Yeah, big old Jet had a light on.
Yep.
Greatest hits of the Drunken Asses. Anyway, Free Talk Live listeners, we are asking you for a couple of favors, actually. Number one, go to freekeen.com. That's Keen, K-E-E-N-E, freekeen.com. And find the bit where it tells you how to write a letter to Ian Freeman in jail. The information is there. Go and find it. Write him a letter.
And Aria on there, I think.
Well, Aria's got her own over at ariadimezzo.com. So, yes, go to both of these places. Go to freekeen.com to find out how to write Ian. There's, I believe, Mr. Penguin posted an article on that,
mm-hmm.
how to do that. And then Aria has posted her information, or had somebody else post it, over at ariadimezzo.com. So both of these people, hosts and co-hosts, first chairs of this show, Ian, of course, being the founder of this show, are in prison right now for nonviolent crimes of consensually selling cryptocurrency to willing buyers. So they could use your support. They could use your letters. You could tell them about whatever, your life, what's going on in your world. What are you into? What's, you know, what's going on in, you know, with your family and your friends and how do you see the world now? Even just sending them a postcard if you're traveling or you went somewhere interesting.
Pictures. You can print out pictures, even color pictures. Just yeah. don't write with crayons or colored markers or pens or anything like that. Or pencils.
So we've been typing and printing, right? So type it up on a computer, print it out. That's what we've been doing.
That is safest.
Here, yeah. That's the safest. You can write with pen.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to clarify that because you mentioned don't write with pens. But yeah. pen is fine.
I meant like colored ones.
Yeah,
so.
Black ink, blue ink.
Yeah.
Don't write with red ink, you know, or any other color besides black or blue, please.
Because the jail will send it back to you.
Right. And also, don't, like, decorate your envelope.
Yeah, that got some of my stuff sent back just because I wrote in pen the return address and then the address Ian, and I put, like, three hearts in pen on the envelope. So stupid.
Yeah, so.
No stickers.
Oh, yeah, no stickers.
No odd-shaped paper.
So, I mean, most of you guys aren't going to do any of that stuff anyway. We're just telling you the
yeah,
gotchas.
Yeah, just type up a normal letter.
And you got to write your return address if you want Ian or Aria to know who it's from. Because if you put the sticker with your return address, they'll take that off and Ian won't know who it's from.
Right.
Oh.
It happened once last year.
People still have those stickers, eh?
Hmm.
Oh, yeah, don't you know?
You got some
sense. You from Wisconsin all of a sudden?
Yeah, that was Canada.
Canadian. Whoa, what's that all about?
Sorry.
Were you saying something? Sorry.
Sorry.
It's actually totally irrelevant to the show. So.
I'm sorry.
So I'm sorry.
Okay. We're all sorry.
Yeah.
That's very Canadian of you.
Hey. All right. As promised, I want to talk about the new Hoovervilles.
Can I just say, Canadians are great because they're like the only group that don't care if you make fun of the way they talk at all. Like, you'll never get a Canadian like, we don't talk like that. You're a bigot or anything,
right,
I feel
yeah.
like.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you can't be racist against Canadians because, well, they're so multicultural.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, it's an area that is known as, you know, multi-race, multi-ethnic, right? Parts of Canada speak French as their first language still.
Mm, yeah.
Right? So, you know, it's definitely a hodgepodge, much like America is. Mm. Right? So
apparently Toronto's like the most diverse city, which I didn't know until like 2020.
Yeah, and they have
really?
A large underground mall.
Wow, it's kind of
really?
Creepy.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a I don't remember what film, but there was a film filmed there in the Underground
Mall. Like a scary movie? Because that's scary.
No, I think it was an action movie. I think so. It was one of these scenes where, like, a car is, like, driving through a mall,
mm-hmm.
and they just decided to film it there because, well, Canada's cheaper than anywhere else to film something like that. And also, they have a large mall, right? Yeah. You know, so. Anyway, do you guys know what a Hooverville is?
Yeah, like from the Great Depression.
Yeah.
And they called it that because they were, like, saying it's, like, Hoover's fault.
Right, exactly. In the Great Depression, the proliferation of Hooverville shanty towns and charity soup lines became an iconic symbol of the scale of the financial calamity. And that's from a little later in the article. But this article asks, the new Hoovervilles, RV villages and makeshift tribes on the rise as inflation bites. From 2020 to 2023, the median purchase price of homes in the U.S. rose from $320,000 to over $420,000. That's a 33% increase in just 3 years.
That sounds high. $320,000? How long ago?
3 years ago.
Oh, 3 years ago. Okay, so maybe that is more accurate.
Now it's $420,000.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely believable.
In 2011, the average price of a home was around $200,000.
Wow.
Meaning prices have doubled in a single decade. I'm pretty sure prices of the house haven't doubled in any other decade.
No, that is absolutely insane.
The average apartment rental price in the U.S. is now over $1,300 per month compared to $1,000 in 2020. And home rentals have risen over $2,000 per month on average. The spike in the market is a reflection of inflation across the board, as well as increased demand due to more Americans being priced out of home ownership. And I would like to include, this is me ad-libbing, this is not in the article, inflation is, of course, the Federal Reserve with working with the government to print more money. This thing, this $100 billion that Biden's talking about that we talked about in the first segment of tonight's show.
Getting printed,
yeah. It's not like they're coming around going, hey, you owe us $150, everybody. Got to pay up for this $100 billion we're sending.
Or like cutting some unnecessary welfare they have going on, you know, to save it up until they can send Israel the $100,000.
Stop building a couple of warbirds.
Yeah.
Right? They're not going to do that. Another interesting development during the pandemic years, as if it's over, right? The pandemic, the propagandemic continues. The pandemic really wasn't. But at any rate, another interesting development was a considerable rush to buy RVs, vans, and assorted tiny homes. This may have been a symptom of the authoritarian lockdowns that became standard in blue states, leaving people to relocate. However, there's also the economic factor. The average tiny home runs $30,000 to $60,000. Really? That's the average tiny home?
Mm-hmm. Wait, what was it?
I'm sure.
The average tiny home runs $30,000 to $60,000.
Oh, okay.
With used RVs available for even less. Okay, that part's true. RV space rentals can be found for as low as $500 per month. That's true, at least around here. For those willing to sacrifice living space, the savings are alluring. I was considering this when I lived in Seattle.
The crappy thing is you can't just put it on your friend's property.
Right.
Like, you'll have to buy property.
Well, you, I mean,
or rent space from an RV park that's licensed and insured.
I follow a lot of, like, van life people on YouTube.
Van dwellers, yes.
And they do have all these hacks for, like, these sort of things. Yeah. Like, you can park in a Walmart parking lot and, like, all this, you know, there's, or, like, cheap, like, a $5 campground, you know, stuff like that. So there is,
there's
I
national
guess,
parks,
cheap ways to
there's
do
national
that.
Parks that are free that you can stay, but most of these places you can only stay temporary.
And say you don't have, like, a mobile one, and you got permission from, like, your parents or someone you know. This happened in New Hampshire maybe, like, 2 years ago. There was a story of this woman for, like, a whole year had been living in a tiny home on her parents' house to save money while she was going to college, and the government came in. I don't know if they took it or what they did to it, but they were forcing her to not live there, even though it's their property, supposedly.
Yeah.
And it's her tiny home. They own this stuff, supposedly.
And what is
not bothering anyone?
I'm sure that's like a zoning thing, right? Like
that's
it needs to be like approved, and you need permits to put any sort of structure. You can't even build a deck on your house without having, you know, the approved state paperwork.
Yeah. You can modify your house however you want as long as you don't change the square footage of its existing.
That's in New Hampshire, right?
In New Hampshire, yeah. So if you have a deck, you can rebuild the deck, the way it is, right, yeah. on the same, you know, width and, you know, length and all that kind of thing. But you can't build it bigger, for example, mm-hmm. or make it wrap around your house if it was just a front porch. Or
without
whatever.
A permit.
Right.
They have to approve it. You have to give them
now,
money.
Now, that doesn't mean people don't do it. This is New Hampshire. And, like, you know.
I'm sure, yeah.
Frequently, you know, the state can't see a house from the road. Right, you know, there's a bit of a driveway to go.
Yeah, or you live somewhere rural. Really rural. Yeah. It's like, nobody knows, nobody cares.
So that type of stuff happens here probably more frequently than elsewhere. But, you know, they could. If they wanted to be statists, they could come in and be like, nope, you got to take that down and make you somehow or you go to jail, of course. At any rate, during the Great Depression, we discussed the proliferation of Hooverville shanty towns. And, of course, soup lines became the iconic symbol of the scale of financial calamity. These kinds of signals of collapse are not as prevalent or obvious in our era. Soup lines have been replaced by EBT benefits.
Mm-hmm.
That's food stamps for those of you who don't know. It's electronic, I don't remember what EBT stands for now.
Beer and TVs? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I mean, basically, that's more accurate. But.
Okay, not really TVs, but yeah, you know, people on welfare, that's what they're doing.
Yeah, they get the TV money is something else.
Yeah, yeah.
I have to look it up now because...
Yeah, we looked this up not too long ago on...
It's like electronic...
Bank transfer?
Oh.
No.
Electronic benefits transfer.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, electronic benefits
Sarah would know
transfer.
If Sarah calls in.
Are you trying to summon her?
She has,
She probably doesn't know where I'm at.
13 minutes?
Anyway, soup lines have been replaced by EBT benefits and food banks, while Hoovervilles are being replaced by squatter towns, quote-unquote, made up of RV villages on the outskirts of highways and Walmart parking lots. That's right, Nikki. You nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
One time, me and my friend were just traveling from Las Vegas to Texas. I was helping her move. I flew up there and drove down in her Ford Fiesta.
Yeah.
Well, she drove, and I was just, like, there for moral support. And we spent the night in a Walmart in Phoenix and then a gas station in Texas. Not exactly the same thing, but that was scary. There was, like, so much weird activity that went on all night. Like, I couldn't... I mean, it's Phoenix. Phoenix is just, like, a notoriously bad city. And it was just, like... I don't know. It was like all this, if I went into it, it sounds stupid, but it was like, I couldn't sleep. I just kept getting waken up by, like, there was this one point, this car drove by that had a flashlight rigged to the side of it, and it was like, it pointed its light in my eyes. I woke up, and I was like, what the? And then it's like traveling, or circling around us.
Yeah.
I don't know how people do it. That's all I'm saying.
Hashtag van life can be trying. It's not exactly easy. There is this sort of fantasy amongst... I'm going to call them aspiring libertarians, people who might be libertarian at heart, mm-hmm. but haven't, you know, made the move to New Hampshire, for example, or they haven't taken any political action. They're all just, you know, in the philosophy of it. There's this sort of fantasy they have where, hey, let's just get a bunch of us together. Let's go buy, you know, 20 acres of land somewhere and put up some solar panels and dig a well and put in a septic system and we'll all just roll our RVs or our tiny homes in there and we'll just live there as like our own community. It's a great fantasy. Have you tried it? Yeah. Guess
I mean,
what?
I wouldn't really want to live in like a mobile home of libertarians if I'm being honest.
Guess what? The law gets in your way even if you try.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. So it's not as easy as it sounds. It's...
Maybe like a huge one where you each had your own lots, sure, but not like we're all parked in the same yard.
Right.
Well, 20 acres is pretty big. You know, you'd have some space with 20 acres, depending on how many people are there.
Yeah.
But
then you also
would you want to live in a van, Bob?
No, I wouldn't want to live in a van at all.
Or a trailer?
Like a mobile home. I've lived in trailers twice.
How about a van?
Some of them are actually nice.
How about, really how about nice. A van down by the river?
A van down by the river.
That could have been
either. That's probably too old for both of
us. No, I've seen it. It's
Chris Farley.
Yeah.
Chris Farley and the skinny. Oh, David Spade.
Yeah.
He was like playing a kid, and that was funny.
Another factor which has perhaps improved the conditions for falling home affordability is the remote work option in the gig economy. A person living out of an RV or a van has the ability to connect to the internet and raise funds through digital work. They can become contract workers for delivery services, or they can work a regular 9-to-5 job while saving money on rent and utilities. This is not to say that the trend is ideal or that this should be the new Western standard. It still represents the decline of Western civilization. but the ugliness of economic uncertainty is far more hidden from view. During the Great Depression, many people became nomadic, traveling across the country by rail or caravan, looking for better living conditions and better employment. But the life of these nomads focused on less than ideal camp conditions, poor sanitation, and poor security. They were often the targets of criminals. We have a version of this today in the form of tent cities in places like Los Angeles.
Keene.
Or Seattle.
Or Keene.
But for now, the RV option appears to be the dominant one. I'll give you Keene, but they're talking about they're talking about a tent city. Keene has like a tent village.
And it just
Torn up all the time.
It's constantly all their stuff's being thrown away. And I will say, it's not really their stuff. It's a ton of trash and like used needles.
I know Matt's got photos of like the tent city in Seattle and the Georgetown area. Have you seen those?
I've seen his photos. I've never been to Seattle, but he said every time he goes, it's worse.
Yeah.
It's terrible. I saw just the other, 2 weeks ago, I was driving back into Keene from, where it takes you to Washington Street.
Yep.
And there's, woods to your left. And I saw a bunch of firefighters, escorting a bunch of homeless-looking people out of the woods. I kind of wondered what that was about.
I read something the other day that one of these container services, right, they bring dumpsters around to, construction sites or whatever, they volunteered to clean up the homeless camp.
Yeah, I saw
and
that.
And so they had to kick everybody out for them to come in and, throw away all the trash, clean up the site.
Well, that's kind of cool.
I think that's what happened there.
Yeah, I did see on some Keene community Facebook group that they were doing that.
Firefighters. It wasn't cops kicking these people out. It was weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
But either way, it is kind of weird either way, but it makes a little more sense for it to be a firefighter.
Maybe they offer less resistance to the firefighters.
That's true.
Maybe. I mean,
my sister was with me, but no one else, so I completely forgot about this, bringing it up to someone who might know.
Even in places as cold as Canada with limited populations, RV communities are popping up everywhere. They show a video here of something called Squatter City. And we're not going to play the video. You can find this. We'll post a link to it, of course, on our social media. But one issue that stands out as paramount is the return of a kind of tribal organization. Neighbors knowing each other and helping each other through difficult times. Sound familiar? Sound like the Free State Project, perhaps?
Yeah.
The isolation of the modern world has created a kind of anti-community, a world in which no one knows anyone, and mutual aid is seen as unsavory.
Okay, just when I moved from Tennessee to Texas, and I moved from, a large town, Clarksville, Tennessee, to a big and growing suburb, Cibolo, of San Antonio, me and my siblings were always talking about how it's just, no neighbors talk to each other, and we found it so weird. We grew up when we lived on military bases before we lived in Tennessee, and we lived in outside the military base, but in the town in Tennessee, we always would just go outside. Kids would be walking around. We'd start hanging out with them, and not just that, but all our friends' parents knew each other on the street, and that just didn't happen when I lived in a bigger city in a suburb, and we found it so weird. It was I don't know. It was just everybody was really not talking to
anyone. I can't tell
else.
You how many different places I lived in Seattle in the 22 years I was there, at least a half a dozen, if not more. And zero of the times did I meet more than one of my neighbors. Right? I'm talking about living in an apartment building with five stories, and I met one neighbor, right? I'd buy a house in New Hampshire, and it took a couple of years of me living there, but I finally met all of my immediate surrounding neighbors, lickety-split, right, by way of comparison.
I moved just a little bit out of San Antonio, years later when I moved back to Spring Branch, and it was different. Yep. It's how close you are to a city.
Economic crisis has a tendency to force societies back to their origins, and tribalism might be making a comeback as a fundamental of survival. I've lived a nomadic life for a period of time, somewhere between 1988 and 1991, right? I worked as a carny, so I was going from town to town, every week almost, or 2 weeks, depending on how long the show was in town for. I was a commercial fisherman in the Gulf of Mexico, so we'd go out for a month at a time, and then you'd port in some unknown city that you'd never been to before.
Yeah.
You'd stay there for a week, wait for the boat to get refreshed and refilled, and then, you know, do your part to make that happen. And then, you know, you go party for basically a week on whatever money you made, and then you get back on the boat and go out for another month and do a month's worth of work and just rinse and repeat that for some time. So I have an idea of the difficulties of nomadic life, and I don't wish it upon anybody, right? Some people choose it, and that's fine. If that's your thing and that's what you want to do, go ahead. You can make it happen, but you have to be ingenious,
mm-hmm.
right? I don't mean a genius. I mean you have to be frugal. You have to be on top of your cleanliness. And you have to come up with, like, you have to find solutions to stuff that you never knew you needed solutions to.
It seems like it's a lot easier when you have a lot of money. Like, the very successful... Exactly, but the very successful YouTubers that I follow, it's like, you know, they have the best of everything, and it really makes it so much easier. I could imagine if you're doing it to kind of rough it, so to speak, or it's like, I can't afford my rent anymore because they, you know, increased it $300.
Yep.
So I'm going to try this thing instead because I have enough money saved up for, you know, RV, whatever.
Yep.
When things break, you know, it's just, it makes it so much more complicated. So people who are doing this because they don't have any money and they can't afford rent and they can't buy a house, I can just imagine, you know, it's not the glamorous, like, YouTube life that you see.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, we're traveling the United States, and we're like, we're at the beach, and
look,
we went
at this
to Mexico.
Great view I got
and...
to wake up to.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's like, all nice and polished looking inside, like decorated.
It's not like that when you have to sleep in a Walmart parking lot because you don't have any money for the $5 campground fees.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. When you literally have to use, like, construction paper, newspaper, and, like, some duct tape or some scotch tape to block out your windows so you can get some sleep.
Or you're out in California where gas is almost $7 a gallon.
Yeah.
I mean, how are you going to get around in your van?
If you are considering or you've just started doing van life, as Nikki said, you can find all sorts of good information online, particularly videos. I don't know if any of them are on Odyssey. I've not looked for Van Life.
I haven't
Odyssey,
either, no.
But I know they're on YouTube. I also know that there is more than one now convention. There's annual.
Oh, cool.
Like,
I didn't know
you
that.
Know, like, we have Pork Fest every year for libertarians. They have something like a Van Life convention. Everybody just drives to, you know, someplace, and they all camp out and meet and talk about best practices and how to be clean and all that stuff. So, anyway, we're out of time. Thank you, Bonnie. Thank you, Nikki, for joining me tonight.
Thank you, Captain.
You're welcome. Thank you to our callers and our listeners, of course. If you missed any part of tonight's program, please go to freetalklive.com and find the archives.
No, thank you, Mark.
Thanks, and peace.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.